afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of Eloquent Online in beautiful, sunny Chamber of Commerce Day, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to sunny, I think it's sunny, Charleston, South Carolina, where the dedication of our co-host today has never been more self-evident, because Troy is leaving on a big vacation as soon as the show is over.
Can you say bon voyage?
Bon voyage.
Yeah.
And yet, Troy agreed to do the show, his last official act before going on vacation. So everyone else, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. I'm just kidding.
That's good. I like that.
Well, like I said, we don't have a guest today. We might keep it kind. The nice thing about our show is I set it up for 30 minutes. Sometimes it goes 35 minutes. Sometimes it goes 27 minutes. Anyway, a couple things I want to do real quick, a couple shout-outs. Now, Troy will not be here next week because he's on vacation. Another show announcement. I already forgot the day of the week that it is. But on the 22nd of May, I will not be here. I will be with the 8th grade class from my son's awesome private school here in New Braunfels, doing the biannual Washington, D.C. trip with the 8th and 7th graders, and 54 of our closest friends will be up in D.C., so that should be a lot of fun. And while I'm thinking about it, I've got to get a quick shout-out to my private school Interscholastic Association pros team. I got 4 amazing young people going up to compete at state in the spoken art of reading prose. I want a big shout out to Aslan. I want a huge shout out to Presley, who read what I thought was one of the most difficult pieces for a girl her age, apart from The Fault in Our Stars. Superstar Whitney, third place and going up as an alternate, Haley, and another one, Aubrey, one of my absolute faves from seventh grade, who also read a piece that I thought was a book that a lot of adults read. You may have even read it, Troy. And it's the one about Heaven is for Real, about Colton Burpo. And that, I know you don't get a lot of fun reading in because of your PhD program. But anyway, and then another quick shout out to my buddy Andrew, who's going up to compete in state in modern oratory. And I'll tell you, Troy, I tell the kids this. I think the academic competitions that they get involved in middle school, high school, are actually more important than the athletic competitions, because the overwhelming majority of kids have to make a living with their talent and their creativity. Very few kids go on to play professional sports.
No, you're right. I thought at one particular point in time that my son's soccer experience was going to be my retirement plan, but like some investments I've made, it's quickly fizzled.
Well, I know the feeling. My son was on me to buy him one of those big Callaway drivers. He's on the golf team. He plays everything. He played every sport this year, cross country all the way to the spring sports. And I said, I will get you this golf club, but I'm not getting it, so it's going to sit in the garage all summer. This is your commitment to golf. You're going to get out and play with me this summer. And so anyway, but you know all about the rewards and investment of parenting and grandparenting, and very few people earn a vacation the way you do. So where are you headed off to?
Well, we are going to just do a little bit in the Southern Caribbean for a while.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. So I know you like taking the cruises. I think you've probably been on at least 32 since we started doing the show.
So 33, but who's counting?
At 33, covering up this week.
33, but who's counting?
Seriously. Who's counting? Exactly.
Okay, yeah, but we got to stop this banter and get to something that's important. Otherwise, people are going to hang up on us.
I totally agree. Hey, folks, we get back from the break. We're gonna keep it kind of short today. I'm sensitive to Troy's vacation needs. I could use a vacation, actually. Hey, folks, when we get back from the break, a couple things I want to talk about. I want to talk about a show we did a couple weeks ago with Suzanne Johnson, and Troy came up with a term that if I did pointless, meaningless things like hashtagging, it would deserve its own hashtag, hashtag generational hiccup. I want to talk about the two groups that I think are using our banking marketplace. I want to talk about this little row I had last week with some of our buddies up in Canada. And then I want to ask Troy the $50,000 question, are websites still relevant? And we'll do it all right after this. Right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy. Well, you can tell by the way
I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. That is right. We are hotter than an elderly center in downtown Baltimore. We are that hot here on the radio.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even. La, la, la. I listen, for the listeners that I'm like not even going anywhere in that direction. So, okay, let's talk about something
That's
else.
That's right. All right. The, two weeks ago, we had on the show Suzanne Johnson and GTE Financial, client of mine, favorite credit union of mine, doing some training to deal with something that I think maybe you even deal with, Troy, in your world, and that is, as the credit union, and it's compelled to do this, gets more efficient, that typically means, as you know, being in the business, the biggest investment y'all make every day is in the people that you hire to work at the credit union. So as the credit union gets more efficient, they start using more technology, the virtual teller machines and the interactive teller machines. You know as well as I do, there is an element of our marketplace that doesn't like that. And so they were doing some training on kind of dealing with that, and you came up with a term, and you called it a generational hiccup. And I thought that was so spot on, because I think that is going on not just in the banking marketplace, but everywhere. And you had a lot of great things to say about it, and I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, if I can put it into perspective of hopefully that I can recall the conversation in a way in which it will be meaningful now, as we've had, you know, several weeks in between. A lot of times some of these things are very inspirational for me. They hit me at that particular moment in time, and it's not something that I have spent a lot of time, like it's not like I wrote it down, like I'm creating a theory on it. But I believe that what we were discussing is this breakdown that occurs within not only the generations, as in a hiccup between the generations, but also in the interpretation of how the generations respond and how they react. The one thing, though, that is important for all of us to understand in dealing with any generational piece of information is that the basis of the attitudes of the generation are driven from the core values of the individuals who comprise that generation. So what happens is that we develop a value system. So in each generation does, because they are a group, and this is a group that typically works together. There is some sort of commonality in that particular group. In addition to age, there's a lot of experiences that they learn and come in contact with because of just the way time interacts and where they interact in the environment and how that works. So they create their sense of value. Their values then contribute to their beliefs and their belief system, and that contributes to their behaviors, which in turn becomes their attitude. Right. And many times what we see displayed is the individual's attitude. And so it is because it is the physical manifestation of the individual's core values. So the hiccup that can sometimes occur is that we want to address the attitude, but the problem is not the attitude, it is in the core value. And so so realistically, where we can make a difference in our training and development and messaging is to really relate to the core values of the individuals that you're trying to change your behavior to. So if you want to introduce more technology, most likely the messaging is about skills. But here's the problem. Skills are not what keeps people from doing it. It's their attitude about it, which then is seen through their behaviors, which is driven from their core values.
I absolutely agree with you. And what I think has been sort of the transformation, again, speaking of GTE Financial, they did something very cool. Well, they do a lot of things very cool at GTE Financial, but they've opened up something called the GTE Galleria. It's basically a museum about the credit union celebrating their 80 years in business. And one of the letters they came across was from October 1989. And it's a letter from, at the time, the president, George Hobart. And the last paragraph I thought was very interesting. It says, "So if you follow my steps, open a checking account, direct deposit your paycheck, and use a GTE FCU ATM card, you'll be getting out of line for all the right reasons. Sincerely, the president." And I think back in 1989, direct deposit and the night depository and the ATM and some of the things that are referenced in this letter were literally done to save the members' time, to save them their time. And I think what we're seeing now is credit unions are making these investments in the virtual teller machines and things like that in the mobile marketplace to save the credit union's money. And I'm not saying one is wrong, yes, and one is right or whatever. It's simply we have to do that because, as you know, Troy, in your business, you're not allowed to turn a profit at the credit union. You have to operate very, very efficiently. And I just think it's interesting because I believe there are these two key groups of people. I drove by Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union the other day on my way to pick up at school, and Troy, they must have been giving away free gold bars in the lobby, every single parking space, and they weren't having a repo sale. It was like a Wednesday afternoon or something like that, and the place was just packed. And I always wonder, is there a time, you know, 1989, that was a long time ago, is there a time 26 years from now when we won't have that physical branch apparatus? And I'm just not sure I'm going to see that in my lifetime.
Well, the studies tell us that the physical representation, in other words, the imagery of the location, the visibility, the proximity, that need will always be present. Whether it becomes the way you see it today or not will be different. But I think a physical presence will always be, or at least for many good years to come, will continue to have a presence. I think there will be, maybe at some point in time, we might replace the physical presence with a different kind of presence because our minds will have the ability to accept that and we will think that that is reasonable. But today we see brick and mortar as a presence. We can't see concepts as a presence. And it's possible that many years from now, our minds may evolve to a point in which that is possible. Now, I want to go back and address one of the things that you said in your commentaries prior to this question, and that is the reason that many of these technology changes are made today is to create better efficiency and actually drive down the expenses of the organization. And the reality is that, yes, that is true, but it is because we need to make a profit. As I have said numerous times, we are now driven from regulation in a very different environment than we were when it was.
That's right.
And we just give everything back away.
That's right.
You could
That's
operate
right.
with an ROA of a 0.35, and it would be fine if you operated in that regard, knowing that you were providing member benefits back, even with being well capitalized. Today, the regulators do not care whether or not, well, they care that you are well capitalized, but being well capitalized does not contribute to being an offshoot of then being able to operate with a low ROA. So as a result of that, these technology issues really that do have some efficiencies and they do save time and there are great benefits, the reasons why we're doing them today may be guided a little different, but technically the overall result will be the same. So I argue in the sense that, yes, it is because we are driven for profitability, but I can also tell you that the end result isn't a problem because it does help the individual somewhere along the line. But where I go back to the generational hiccup again is saying that getting the individual to take the paper statement versus the electronic statement is, we see that saying that the individual, you know, their attitude is that they'd rather have the paper. Well, it's because it's built from a core value system of individuals in that generation who trusted paper as their source. The electronic, the email, there is no trust in that, and especially based on the number of times we've been hacked, we right. have had, you know, credit cards, debit cards reissued, and I don't mean we as the financial institution being hacked, but I mean their data has been hacked somehow, right. and they've not been, they've kept good track of it. It's not like somebody dug it out of the garbage can and did it. You know, these are established retail entities that have been careless with member data and member information, and then as a result, everyone suffers. And then you want to know why people have a problem accepting this technology change, even though we know it's better, because the element of trust is no longer established in a core value for that technology delivery, and that creates the generational hiccup.
Yeah, and you also talked about the difference between being earnest and being honest. It was a great conversation. If you haven't had a chance, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to the show. I'm feverishly trying to remember the show where you talked about how the new regulations are driving credit unions away from that core value of years back, and it was all about how many shares can you return to the member owners of the credit union, and so much has changed, and that's why I think I got a little, and you know me, I can get a little frustrated at times with the conference clan and the conference culture out there that still exists, but there was someone who put out a tweet, unbank your bank, you know, one of those, you know, pithy little hashtaggy things that nobody else has ever thought to say before. And I simply responded, you know, by the way, probably 80% of your members call your credit union a bank. So what if somebody sees that and says, oh, yeah, it's been a while since I made a change. I think I will change my bank and go from my credit union to a different credit union. I just think – and anyway, but it always devolves into what I think is an intolerance of an alternative point of view.
Okay, but here's what I want to tell you about this, okay? Whether they call it my bank or my credit union, it doesn't – it's immaterial. The noun is immaterial. It's the my part that is important. We lose sight of the my, and we focus on the noun. So it doesn't really matter. It's like, how do you make it my? How do you make it so that the individual calls it and claims it? That's where the power is in what we do and how we will interact with the consumer. And you're right. So it doesn't matter whether the person said, this is my bank. If they're not feeling my anymore, they go to another financial institution until they get the my feeling. And then once they get the my feeling, then it doesn't matter what they call it. So the problem is that credit unions existed for so many years. There is a cultural sort of underlying that has kind of come along with the way people understand it, but it's not relevant today. The relevancy before was that credit unions were perceived to be on that my level because they were trusted relationships that were provided by the human resource professionals of the companies that we dealt with.
Yep,
so
right.
Typically, the HR person said, go to the credit union and open your account. And so the person went, oh, I went to the credit union to open my account. My company, company, where I get
my money,
my paycheck,
right,
says to go to my credit union and open up the account. So as a result, that was all happening. Well, our model has changed today. We very rarely get opportunities for HR representatives of these institutions to be able to focus us over to the credit union and really consider us the tremendous benefit that we are. And a lot of that has come just out of more regulation and more what is called fairness. You know, well, gee, what if I, the HR professional says, what if I recommend this credit union, but this bank is going to sponsor some program for our marketing department?
Yep.
Well, you know, then all of a sudden it just really, you know, it gets really crazy. So as a result of that, those intimate relationships that had one time been established are no longer there. And so, what I say to you and I say to those folks who want to make a difference is stop worrying about whether we are called a bank or a credit union
amen.
And start focusing on the my feeling, because
exactly.
That's where the difference will be.
Well, and I agree. But like I said, it's almost like the example I came up with was this young generation, and I'm assuming this person is younger than me, the millennials and the Gen Yers that make up a big part of the conferences and go to these events and stuff like that. I didn't realize this conference was going on in Canada, so it might be different in Canada. But to me, I felt like it was like going up to somebody's house and their roof is on fire, and I knock on the door, and the guy answers the door, and he's sitting there watching TV in his pajamas, and I say, hey, knucklehead, your roof is on fire, your house is on fire. And he says, well, I don't like the way you're talking to me. Okay, I realize that, but I'm trying to be honest with you and tell you your house is about to collapse in on you and your family. Knucklehead, why don't you turn up the TV? I'll call the fire department, but you come out on the street. And it's almost like it's the way you say things. Well, does it matter if it's true? If your house is on fire, would you like me to come tell you or find a nice way to say it? And I know God knows I can work on the way I articulate things at times, but I absolutely agree with you that I think there are some people who are young that shouldn't be trapped in the past that are. And you got guys like you and me that have been doing this for a while that often talk about new and innovative things and are routinely ignored by the credit union conference clan and the big guys up in Madison and whatnot. But that's okay. We do what we do. Hey, last final question. Sure. I've been talking to a credit union. It's very exciting because it doesn't happen very often that you get to be a part of a new credit union, meaning a credit union that did not exist before. And this is Lutheran Credit Union. They've kind of broken away from Thrivent Financial, and they want to start a credit union for the Missouri Synod Lutherans and Lutheran educators. I think Lutherans have the largest school of any denomination out there, even maybe even more than the Catholic schools that are out there. Anyway, I haven't talked to them about this part of it much, but I've been not obsessed. I've been thinking a lot lately, Troy, about the traditional www.abcdefg website. And if you were a credit union starting today, I know you have to have one. I mean, I know you have to have a quote-unquote website. But to me, that URL website is becoming more and more just sort of the thing that lays there when it's the mobile app that you really have to pay attention to.
Well, okay, good. So you've got two good thoughts going on, but let me just provide some clarification because it's the data that clarifies it for us, okay? It's not my opinion or my interpretation. The reality is that there is a tremendous trend toward the mobile app. Anything that is mobile-related, we're seeing great strides and adoption in that. But what we also were surprised is the amount of our members who use the mobile version of the website. And so what is important for startup companies or companies who have a website and continue want to have that website to be relevant to their consumers, they must make it mobile adaptable. So it has to be mobile ready. There's another technical term for it, which escapes my mind right now.
I think it's optimized for mobile or something like that.
Something in that area. That is what makes the website relevant. If you're going to have the regular website that just prints out on the PC screen that can accommodate a 12 to 17 inch view, and it doesn't confine itself to something that looks a little bit larger than the size of a index card, then you might as well just forget it, because that the trend is definitely saying there is a need for a website, but it has to be optimized for the iPhone or the Android or that mobile device. And if you are able to do it, and basically all it means is that the screen confines itself to the area in which the device is, and if you do, you'll be fine. So once again, here's a thought where at one point in time we thought that the relevance of the website might go away. But I will say this, individuals will now go to the App Store and search apps in place of going to search the website. So, or when they do a website search, they aren't searching for a website. They are searching for the app that is compatible for what they want. So before, when we used to say the conversation, you used to Google it, and you would Google it for the what you would hope would be the internet information. Today, you might be Googling it to determine, do I have the convenience of what I'm looking for in an app version that I can use on my handheld device or the device that I carry in my purse or briefcase, like an iPad, something of that nature.
Well, listen, man, I want you to take your iPhone or whatever you use and put it, turn it off, go enjoy a beautiful vacation with your lovely bride. I wish you safe travels and blessings on everything that you
Thank
do.
You.
We'll look forward to having you back here in about 2 weeks. And as always, his name is Tough Talkin' Troy from the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
you can't believe it, but that sun is still shining.
Still shining. Absolutely. And my name is Jason Dias, signing off from the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. You've been listening, because I forgot to say it again, the name of the show, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? We hope to leave you wanting more each and every week. Troy, we'll talk to you soon. Everyone else, we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.
That's all, folks.